without further ado, I want to ask Betty to go ahead and come on up as she shares, and let's honor her as we clap and stand as she comes. Now, y'all know that public speaking is a number one fear next to death itself, right? So that's why we do that. We're like, you are so brave, okay? So I'm just going to pray over your Betty, and I'm just going to hand you the mic, okay? Father, I thank you so much for Betty. I thank you for her heart, God, her heart of compassion, her heart of mercy that loves so big and feels so big because you gave her your heart. So I just ask you to release your spirit of peace right now. Lord, that Holy Spirit, you speak through her, Father. You highlight the things that you want to be spoken. Help her to not share what she doesn't need to, but to share what she does. Give her courage, Father. Give her boldness as she stands in authority over her testimony. God, I thank you that there is an earned authority in what she has overcome and what you have done to help her overcome. So we give you the glory in it, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll take that word to journey and covered with blood. I'll take that. Remember what we... Yeah, my husband and I are going to be going on a journey the 1st of March, and he just retired, so... this is going to be a whole new life for us. So I take that word for our journey and that it will be covered with the blood. And I want to start by saying that every song that was sung tonight is part of my testimony. And I want to make sure that Jesus gets all of the glory because he deserves all of the glory. What the enemy thought he was going to use to destroy me, God took it and he made me a much stronger person. And I know that that's out there for everybody that the enemy has tried to destroy and tear down. Mine starts, I ended up going to many doctors. And after many doctors and 3 years of being extremely ill and getting sicker and sicker, I was diagnosed with the Epstein-Barr virus. By then, I was very ill, and I spent probably 80% of the time in bed. It affected every part of my body. I became very weak. I hurt all over. My stomach, food was, it was difficult to eat. My stomach was so torn up. It affects your mind. You feel like you're losing your mind. And I did lose my short-term memory. Now, I had always been a person in full control. I was a very organized person. I had it all together. I had that facade on that I had it all together anyway. And I raised 4 kids pretty much by myself. My husband's always been a shift worker. I was very busy all the time. I never stopped to rest. I went constantly. And as they got older, then I decided I would go into paramedicine. And then I worked 60 hours a week and wore myself down even more. But... I know now that that was my way of running. I didn't want to stop. And, you know, deal with life. And my husband and I had been saved back in 1979. We both got saved. And we were on fire, charismatic Christians, those Jesus people that were so annoying. We were part of that movement, and we were very much involved in church. We raised our kids in the church. I love the Lord to the extent that I knew how to love the Lord. But it wasn't until I became ill that I realized I really hadn't known. I had been raised in a very dysfunctional, abusive home. And so I carried the scars of that life into my marriage, into my Christian walk. You know, you take that garbage with you. And I had a stepfather. I didn't have a real father. And so my outlook on the Heavenly Father was one of, I couldn't trust him. He was unapproachable. When I would visualize him, I would always see him on a very stone throne, very stern look, a no-no God, you know, a God waiting for me to mess up. And I always felt like nothing was without a price. Felt like there was always a price to pay. And so during my illness, God revealed himself to me in so many amazing, incredible ways. But I had to be to the point where I was out of control, where I couldn't do my grocery shopping. I couldn't clean my house. I could barely walk from my bed to the bathroom. And my husband worked shift work, so I was home a lot by myself. My daughters, we were in Oklahoma. We had moved to Oklahoma from Texas, but when I became ill, we had to come back here, which we thought would just be for a couple of months until they found out what was wrong with me, but it took them much longer than that. So we've ended up staying here. So during that time, my daughters were my caretakers when they could get away from their family. So I was alone a lot, but I really wasn't alone because God led me. I've always been a worshiper, and God led me into music. I just got on my iPad, and I lived on my iPad. I didn't have a church, but I went with my daughter to her church, and I was so sick and so hurting. I just knew that I needed prayer, but it wasn't really a praying church. And God knew that I needed a support group. And one day in that church, a woman came up to me and asked me if I was a prayer warrior. And I said, yes. And she said, I have a prayer group that I go to. Would you like to come? And I said, please. So I started going to this prayer group, which was three or four women. And they were a godsend because they could get into the presence of God immediately. And they prayed for me and they supported me. And through them, I learned about Randy Clark and Bill Johnson and Larry Randolph, and I consumed sermons on my iPad 24 hours a day. If I wasn't listening to a sermon, I was listening to music. God's presence in my bedroom was stronger than I've ever felt it in any church or any meeting. It was so transforming. He would give me visuals, or minister to me in song or in sermons. And I know when for a few days I had seen this little girl coming to this throne where I saw the Heavenly Father sit, and this little girl kept coming, and she was trying to get up on the throne, and I would see her lift up her little knees and try to grab on and try to get up like a little toddler, try to give up on a couch. And for 4 or 5 days, I would visualize this, but she never made it up. And on the fifth or sixth day, as this was going on, the little girl lifted up her hands, and the Father lifted her up into his lap. And I thought, God, that's me. He was so faithful to take me into his arms and just hold me, which I never had before. He was my Father, and he was loving me. And I realized at my time of conception, my Father was there. that I did have a father. I had the best father in the world. And as a couple of months went on, this even went further to whenever I would close my eyes, I would just be in his lap. To one day as I went to this place, there was a veil. And I pushed the veil aside. And when I did, I was welcomed in to sit on his knee. And I thought, Lord, I'm a teenager now. I've gone from that little child. Now I'm a teenager. And it was like a daughter sitting on her dad's lap and just being able to talk to him. And he taught me love that I'd never known before. I'd always been very judgmental of the body of Christ. And he just turned... He turned that inside out. He just, he brought, I went back to this church another Sunday with my daughter, and I turned around and made eye contact with a woman that I'd not seen there. And the first thing I noticed about her was she didn't have any shoes on. And I thought, oh, she's a worshiper, or dancer, people that take their shoes off dance in church. And, it was just a strange thing to think. But then she approached me, and she came up and she asked where I got my hair done. She told me she was new in town. And I said to her, are you a prayer warrior? And she said, yes. And I said, oh, I have this prayer group you need to come to. So I took her to this prayer group. And this woman came. God brought her all the way from Illinois just for me. She turned out to be like a sister I'd never had. And she held my hand through my illness. She encouraged me. She prayed for me. We spent hours on the phone talking about the Lord and what he was doing and revelation. And when I would just reach the bottom and I knew I couldn't go on anymore, I would call her, and she would always pray heaven down to me. She was my strength, and God, I know that God brought her to me for that very reason. She was my life source. She encouraged me. I wanted to die. I didn't want to live. And she encouraged me to keep pushing. She wouldn't let me stop fighting. She was very stern with me too, and she went through some real ugliness with me because the enemy didn't leave me alone. He tormented my mind, and I don't completely understand even now why these things happen, but he would just start throwing stuff at me that I wasn't going to make it, that God didn't love me, just horrible, horrible things to the point where I couldn't get it out of my mind, and I would turn my praise music up as loud as I could, and I would get in the hot shower, and I would just start praying in tongues until it lifted. That probably happened 4 or 5 times. But when I called her, she would pray me through it. She would pray so fiercely. And it really, the love that she showed me, God imparted to me, that in the body of Christ, we need one another so badly. And he took me to communion in Corinthians, and he began to show me communion, and I listened to a sermon by Rick Joyner, and this probably was the most profound thing that he poured into me, and it was communion. It's a common union, and that, make sure I get this right. I'd always heard of when pastors would start to share communion, they would say, if you have got aught against somebody, then you're not worthy to take of the bread and body of Christ, and you need to go to them and speak to them. And I always thought, God, how do I deal with that? Should I ever even be taking communions? And the Lord showed me that when there's judgment against one another in the body, that's where the weak and the dying comes from. When it says those in the body are weak and dying, it's because you're judging his body. And the bride of Christ is a city on a hill. It's a community. And in that community, there's koinonia, which is a connection so close that only death could separate it. And he was just showing me that who did I think I was to judge the body? There's no condemnation. And he took me back to the woman when Jesus said, where are your accusers? You know, those who are without sin cast the first stone. And I thought, God, I could never. I'm never without sin. I can't be criticizing your body. And then I learned that during the Passover, the lamb that is chosen is a perfect lamb. And that lamb is taken into the house for 3 days to spend with the family. So they become attached to this lamb. And then this lamb is slaughtered. But the blood from that lamb is gathered. It's gathered, and that's what was used on the doorpost. And it was put on the doorpost to defeat the enemy. And it's then that they ate the bread and the body of Christ. And so that is what we do in remembrance. We eat that bread and that body in remembrance of what he's done for us. Just the love that he showed me through communion, that every drop of blood that Jesus shed was for us. And that his love covers everybody in this world. That blood is not just for us as believers. That blood is for everybody in this world. So he just took my outlook on people in general, and he just gave me such a love and a compassion for people. And especially people that are hurting and that are sick. Because I also saw Jesus always on the cross. I could never get him off the cross. When people would say, picture, you know, close your eyes and picture Jesus, he was always this battered, beaten, bruised, ugly body strapped on this cross. I couldn't get him down. And the last night that I was able to spend in a worship service before I had to stop going to church for 5 months, because I got so sick. The song We Dance by Stephanie Gritzinger came on, and I'd never heard it before. But I closed my eyes, and I was on a ballroom floor with Jesus, and he was my Prince of Peace. And I was dressed in a beautiful gown, and he wasn't on that ugly cross anymore. He was bringing me. The peace and the healing that I needed. And I've never seen him on that cross since then. He's always dancing with me. During my illness, I always felt like I had to be somewhere where a powerful healing minister could minister to me, or I had to go to Bethel. Somehow I had to get well enough to go to Bethel to be healed. But my son came down to visit one weekend, and it was the weekend that we were having to move out of the house we were renting because the woman wanted to move back in. And I had fallen apart. I couldn't think. I couldn't organize. My family had a garage sale, and I couldn't be a part of it. I didn't know what was sold and what stayed. And
I just felt that everything was being taken away from me. And my husband was going to put me in a motorhome. And I thought, I'm going to be the sick lady in the motorhome. And I remember my friend telling me, you're not going to be sick when you're in the motorhome. When you get into the motorhome, you're going to be well. My son came that weekend, and I had fallen apart, and I couldn't think. I was crying hysterically, and he came over to me, and he just grabbed me, and he said, Mom, stop, and he just started praying, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and I didn't feel any different. I went back to the bedroom, but let me back up. God had told me that my healing would be in the twinkling of an eye. And he had also told me one day, it was probably 2 weeks before my son came down, I was crying out, and I just said, God, I'm done. I can't go on. I can't do this. I was screaming. I was upset. And I opened my Bible, and it was to John 11. And it was at the bottom of the right-hand side of the page, and in red, it said, this sickness is not unto death. And I knew then that I was going to live. I didn't know how my healing was going to come, but I knew I was going to live. After my son prayed for me and I went back to the bedroom, he came in the bedroom. And he said, Mom, I just have to share with you that as I was praying for you, I saw myself holding you up to the throne of God. And God has his hand on you. And I knew that was it. I knew I was going to be healed. And the next morning, it was just like he said, in the twinkling of an eye, I was able to get up out of bed. I could think. I could organize. I could talk. It was amazing. It was just incredible. He's not done. That was in August of 2014, and I started coming to this church shortly thereafter. I have never been in a church where I've been so equipped. Where the pastor has taken the time to set up teaching time and transformation and revelation into the Word has just been incredible. And then for Cindy to come and be a part, to sit under her for this past year has just been incredible. God has just poured in and poured in and poured in, and I'm still walking in being totally healed. The Epstein-Barr virus is a friend that kind of wants to stick around for your whole life, but I don't believe that for me, and I don't believe that I'm going to keep all of these symptoms either. I believe that I'm going to be totally, completely healed by the blood of Jesus and according to his word. And that is my goal, to pray for every person that is sick, to lay hands on them and bring them the same hope and the same healing and the same peace that Jesus has brought into me. There's so many more stories, but it was just an incredible, bittersweet journey that I miss my times that were so intense. When people tell you that when you need the presence of God, he'll be there. It's true. I've never felt that presence since. I've gotten better and better. That presence has gotten less and less. So I guess I just want to impart that, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And what he did in the scripture, he does today. He is a powerful healer. And the love, he can transform your mind. He can transform your heart. I have had to apologize to my husband so many times for the ways that I have treated him over this past 45 years that we have been married. It's been very difficult in my marriage because of my abuse. I know that there's good in my future. I know there is. I know that God's going to completely transform my marriage. He's going to transform us as a couple. I believe that we are both going to be ministering together again, just like we did 30 years ago in the kingdom of God, and we're going to be more powerful than we've ever been. And I'm just going to step on the neck of the enemy as many times as I can. Well, that's pretty much it. Thank you. Yes, yes. And I release over each of you the ability to forgive and to bring healing to those places in your life where you have been victimized, that you're able to release, that you're able to forgive and let the Father come in and heal you as only He can heal you and make you whole. And those of you that are suffering from sickness and disease, He is not the author of sickness and disease. He did not bring it on you. He is a good God and He only has good things for you. I release healing over this room. I release healing over this area in this town. Healing in the name of Jesus. That every darkness, every dark thing comes down. Every chain is broken. Every captive is set free that's been held prisoner by somebody else. And even that prisoner is set free for the kingdom of God. What the enemy has meant for evil, Jesus takes it and He makes good out of it. And I declare that over each of your lives. I declare that God is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I pray that the revelation of His kingdom and His love would just be so profound in your lives and in your hearts that you will be changed. If you call out to Him, He's there. I promise you He is there. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We have some extra time. I was just going to share and do a little activation here in just a minute, and we might actually get out a little early tonight. Y'all know practicing words of knowledge and prophetic is what we'll be doing tonight, and so I'm just going to practice here for a minute, and I'm going to ask if these words make sense to you. So I'm just going to tell you how I get it, just like how we teach it, right? So I was just asking, Lord, all right, what's the word? Drop it in me. Numbers, words, whatever, pictures. And I saw 5 and I saw 25. So does anybody have a birthday September 5th or September 25th? Does that make sense to anybody? September 5th or September 25th? Okay. So I don't know where September came from, but September was a particular month that dropped in my spirit after I saw those numbers. And then I heard Smithson. So I was like, well, that, you know, Smith's pretty generic Jesus, you know, but he said Smithson, and then it sounded like Smithsonian. Does that make sense to anybody right now? Does that make a tingle go off inside? I'm just asking. Okay, it may not make any sense. Okay, so here's the next picture. So then I saw a picture of the airplanes in the Smithsonian, right, like this giant museum, which then led me to the Night of the Museum, the movie. Has anyone ever seen that? Okay, so I love that movie. So in the movie, The Night of the Museum, history comes to life. Whoa, there it was. And so history came to life. And so I, every time I get numbers, I just Google the numbers, search the numbers in Scripture, and the one that jumped out at me was this. Oh, Job 5:25 in the New American. It says, "You will know also that your descendants will be many, and your offspring as the grass of the earth." So, is anyone feeling Holy Spirit on that word right now? Not jumping out at anybody in particular. Okay, I don't know. It may be for somebody in the recording. I don't know. But here's what I'm getting right now, knowing that nobody is raising their hand. Legacy just showed up in my... I just saw the word legacy, as in history and generations, and that's the name of our church. So I declare and decree, this is a prophetic word over legacy, that You will know also that your descendants will be many and your offspring is the grass of the earth. So, Father, I thank you, God, that as we have been going back and looking at history, oh, and looking at our stories, God, that we've been able to see your hand in our story. As we've been sharing stories, God, I thank you that you are revealing what legacy looks like in the kingdom. And I thank you, God, that you are redeeming right now sons and daughters, but you're also growing up mothers and fathers in Jesus' name, and that you are releasing a legacy over this church and over this region, that you and your name will be made famous. It's like Smith being famous. Thank you, God, that it's just like being such a common name. Lord, I thank you that Jesus, is that name is going to be known. That name over every other name, even over Legacy Church as a name, that as we move into this outreach for Love New Braunfels, God, that love would be the theme, that your name would be glorified in it, and that just as this word says, God, that there will be many. Father, I declare and decree and prophesy that you will know also that your descendants will be many, meaning, God, that all of those promises that you gave to Abraham on, Lord, all of those, your kids, Father, I thank you that you're releasing right now sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, and the offspring will like the grass of the earth. I thank you that you are declaring this over this region right now. And I thank you, Father, that you're releasing an inheritance of the saints. You're releasing the inheritance of the saints. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're releasing inheritance as your kids, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love history. Like the night at the museum, you make history come alive and creates a new story in our present and our future. And there's so much joy in that movie. I just feel like laughter, just even thinking about that movie. And Father, I just thank you that you are bringing to life our stories, that they will carry forth into new stories. And today and tomorrow, as we declare testimonies of your goodness, as we grow boldly to be able to proclaim what you are doing and have done in our lives, as we share our stories, not even here, but even outside of these walls, Lord, in the highways and the byways, when we're at the grocery store, at work, in our neighborhood, with our families and our friends and our other circles. God, I thank you that you are releasing right now boldness to speak, to remove the fear of man, and to not care what people think. But just as Mia said, who cares? No matter what happens, I'm entering into heaven. I thank you, God, that we can enter into heaven right here, right now, in this moment, in your presence, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the sweet testimony and story of Betty and your overwhelming goodness in your presence, God. Lord, we know that we may not always feel the manifestation of that great glory of that presence as she described, but God, I thank you that we can enter into your presence all the time. Lord, I ask that you help us to be aware of your presence, Father. Lord, that you open our eyes and our ears to hear, to see, to know you're with us all the time. That as we look back on our stories and as we look in our lives each day, that at the end of the day and during the day, that we're able to see your hand in our life. Not always having to look back. God, I thank you that you're showing us right now, Lord, you're making the stories come to life. I thank you, Father. I thank you that's what Jesus did in the parables. He made stories come to life as he talked about the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is like. He told stories. So, Father, I ask that you just continue to reveal to us our stories and your story and our stories and what to share and what to speak and to have courage and boldness to do that. Lord, as your dream, your heart's desire is for all of your kids to come into the kingdom. That every drop that Jesus prayed for was for every person in the world. Lord, I just pray for all of our brothers and sisters who are pre-Christians. God, I just ask, God, that you just release an awakening and a revelation of your love for them, that they become curious of Jesus, that they run into a real deal believer, God, that they run into someone who loves you and knows you and won't give them religion, but will just enter into your presence with them in prayer and let you meet them, that they introduce them to you. Lord, would you give us courage, boldness, supernatural boldness, God. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you that five is the number for grace. And I just hear grace, grace, and great grace. Grace, grace, and great grace. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. And it's in Christ's name I pray.
From the second you started to give the word, I didn't feel like I could stand up yet, because you had to give the whole thing. And I'm pretty overwhelmed by him right now, but I graduated from Smithson Valley. My birthday is in September.
Okay.
And I knew it was for me. I just couldn't. He didn't. I couldn't stand up. And that specific verse in Job has been a promise. That I got when we changed the name of our church from Community Bible Church to Legacy Church was specific. And it's something that you guys need to know. If y'all are okay with me having my eyes closed, I'll fall over if I open. You need to understand that that's the season we live in. And just like as Jacob is brought to Egypt and he sees Joseph's sons, and he brought Joseph's sons in. He claimed them as his own. That's what the Lord's doing. Like, we have a part in this town and in this story. And the promises I've received is that I would have many, 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 many children. That this church would have many children. And and I'll just tell you this, some of the things that are happening now, I feel like some of my spiritual kids are producing kids, and I'm feeling like a grandpa. Because I'm seeing things happen that's more than one generation deep. And y'all need to know that y'all are a part of that, and that the season we've entered into is a Kairos time. It's specific for now. Like, and Chuck said it on Sunday, that it's not just another season, but it's a new era in what God is doing. And so as we take up some of these steps with Jim and Pat and the Love New Braunfels and some of the other events that are coming on, you need to know that there's an acceleration that's coming with it. And the grace that's on it is it's not going to be difficult for us to participate in what God's doing. And I think specifically for where you guys are at, the word I would release over you is don't be afraid of acceleration. Like if you are afraid of in the acceleration, losing control, or even being thrown back into your seat, that in what God is doing, there's no inertia. Inertia being that when you feel a car stop like that, you feel the momentum stop you. But when there's no inertia, that means that it could go fast, it could go slow, it could go left, right, and you don't feel it. It's as if you're just standing still. And that when you're in the center of what God's doing, you're not going to feel the centrifugal force of any of those things. But the key is you got to stay in his heart. And if you're afraid of it, you'll step outside of that safety zone where you're not going to feel it. And so you got to stay into the heart of what he's doing. So, Betty, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. The courage it took to release your story. And this is only the beginning. I just say over you that this is only the beginning of the impact of your story. And exactly what you said about you and your husband and the restoration that is coming, it's not just a singular point of restoration. You're more than a victor, right? You're more than a conqueror. You're one who is able to live in the abundance of the Lord. And there's restitution that has come. And every part that the enemy's tried to steal from you, the Lord declares over you that he's made provision for it. And he's already prepared in advance as he released Israel to go to the promised land. He made Egypt pay for it. And he's going to make them pay for the things that you're doing.
Okay, so stay here. And you might want to sit down. Y'all just extend your hand. I'm just going to release. We're just going to come in agreement and pray. So, Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord over this. God, I thank you for the confirmation in Jay, Lord, as the father of this house. And, Father, I just release right now everything that you have in your spirit, God, to release to him and impart right now that comes with this word. Everything that needs to be equipped, everything that's provision is provided for, the faith, supernatural faith, God, I ask you to release right now, supernatural faith. Oh, I thank you, Father. And I thank you, the thing that stood out to me about this scripture, because it reminded me so much of the promise that he gave to Abraham. And he said, go into a land and your children will be like the stars of the sky or the sands of heaven, the stars of the sky and the sands on the seashore. But this one said, as the grass in all the earth. And so I was asking the Lord about the grass. Whoa. And I heard it's like the blades of the grass, like all the grass needs is rain from the heavens. Show. And the sunshine, and that's all it needs to continue to grow. Like once grass is there, it multiplies itself. Whoa, it multiplies itself. So I thank you, Father, that he has sown the seed, that he's tilled the land, and he's watered the grass. God, I thank you that he has plowed the way, Lord, for your legacy and for your name's sake, that it's been about you, Jesus, and not about Jay. And I thank you, Father, though, but there are promises here that what he has sown, he's going to be able to bear fruit from. And when I think of grass, God, I think of green. I think of new life. I think of multiplication. God, I think of favor. God, I think you have that plush grass I can run around in my barefoot, kind of good grass. And so I thank you, the coolness, Father, of that, the comfort and the safety of that. But I also thank you, God, that it will replenish itself. So I thank you, Father, deep roots in those grass systems. Grass is hard to get out if you don't want it growing in some place, if it's already in there. I know. And so I thank you, Father, for that, that you're releasing something new right now, God. And I thank you, and I just bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. And I ask you to increase it now over Jay and over his family. Father, I ask for an increased hedge of protection around them, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for every single one of his natural children. And I also thank you, God, for the spiritual children, Father, where he has plowed and he's made a way. He's built platforms, Lord. I've received from that. My family's received from that. So many of us here have received from that. And I thank you, Lord, that he pressed in and he plowed through against every opposition, against every wind, against every place of division, all those things that the enemy threw his way, he's been able to withstand because of you. And I thank you for that, Father. And I ask you to grow his roots now. Deeper and deeper and deeper, God, that he cannot be shaken. Lord, I thank you. There's a word that Isabel gave me a long time ago that's being reminded of, and she said, you know, those baby trees, people who grow trees will say that if you want a tree to grow really, really big, you come by these baby trees and you shake them every so often. You shake them like a hard wind, because it forces their roots to grow deeper. It's not to destroy them, but it's to make them stronger. It's to make their roots grow deeper and deeper, because the deeper their roots grow, then the higher they can grow. And the more that they can spread out, the more that they can shade, the more that they can provide for and cover, bear fruit for. So I thank you, Father, that you have released into the Miller family, God, an oak of righteousness. Lord, that he and his children and his children's children will be like that oak of righteousness that's planted by the river, that drinks from the rains of heaven, that's planted by that river, where fruit grows in season and out of season, where the leaves are for healing, Father. We thank you, God, and we bless what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right.